When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Oh, it's 1:58. Holy shit. Sorry. I didn't realize how late it was.
Are you really about to bring your mistress on here with me right now? I mean, I'm supposed to be your one and only.
Man, you feeling good?
Yeah, I can't complain.
You can, but you're rich and playing the NFL and nobody wants to hear it. I'm a Giants fan, but other than those weeks, I'll root for you, yeah. Let's go, Big Blue! They were calling me crap because I was like a bottom feeder. I was on the bottom of the ocean cleaning up the crap there.
Damn, we're like Lucy and Ethel. On the freaking assembly line with the freaking candies. The candies are rolling today. Chris was saying some of the best things he's ever said in the 4.5 years that we've been doing this. I mean, it was Emmy-worthy stuff, and it's lost forever into the ether. But we'll go ahead and let him have a crack at it.
You hear me now? You know I'm friends with your coach, right? Did you know that?
No, I knew it when I walked out.
They have each other's initials tattooed on their legs.
Right.
Okay,
I'm not...
Here we are at the NFL Experience. It could be quite an experience.
I just got nervous.
Got very loud. It was like CBS halftime show at the AFC Championship.
When you couldn't hear my dad
for
or
a
Boomer
moment there. You never know when.
What'd
Bob
you say,
Seger.
Dad?
Bob Seger quite possibly is going to take over the show. Is Bob Seger still alive?
That's a good question.
He's definitely alive here.
I don't know.
He's definitely alive
here. You're supposed
here.
To know that.
I don't know.
You're the old timer.
I don't know. All I know is.
They just blasted
they
his music.
They blasted it.
To the
I
point
mean,
where we were like, oh no, we're not going to be able to do the show and actually hear anything in our ear or anything here.
Just as we were getting ready to come
right,
on, as
right.
they were doing that great montage. Well done, EJ.
Way to go, EJ.
Lucy and Ethel.
Ethel.
On the assembly line.
Wait, first off,
chocolates.
Have you seen the movie Meet the Ricardos?
Yes.
It's very good. I liked it a lot. No?
It was okay. It's nominated for Best Picture.
Okay. I thought it was worthy of that nomination. You were just okay?
Different kind of a... Yeah, just okay.
Damn,
just
okay. Gosh, you're such a freaking hater.
Listen, you can't do... Let's give everything an A. Let's give
really
everything's
liked
great.
It.
Everything's
I really,
great.
Really liked it. I thought
Coda
it was
is the best movie of the year. Coda should win Best Picture. Have you
okay,
seen
Coda? I have not. It's
well,
on my list, though.
It's all awesome. Right. Awesome. All right, we're not here to talk
we're
about...
We're in Hollywood.
This is Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
I used to... Like... They were so friggin' influential when I was growing up.
Right.
And I would watch that show, you know, high school, college age. If they liked a show, I'd go see it.
Yeah.
If they didn't, I just wouldn't. I mean, that's how influential
they
were.
If they
went two thumbs down, I'm not wasting my time.
I got you.
Think how many millions of dollars changed hands because of their hands.
I know,
because
right.
of this.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. You're right. But even in my era, you're right. I was still, like, paying attention to what they were saying. I'm, what, 10, 15 years younger than you? 17? 16?
I don't know.
A lot.
What year were you born?
80.
15.
Yeah, 15. Okay.
Which is good.
It's good.
You're not young enough to be my son.
Right.
Thank God.
Yes.
But, well, I mean, technically, but no.
Yeah.
Thank God. Anyway, two thumbs down for us today. Two thumbs up for our guests, though. We got some great guests coming up. Chris is here for just a little bit of time because he's very special. He has to go do something. that I don't get to do. I have to stay and continue to grab the chocolates off the conveyor belt. But you're going somewhere. I don't know where, but you don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it's that special. If you want to be special, you can go for me. It has something to do with the pregame where they just got to, like, put me in front of the camera to be like, oh, wait, you do fit in the camera. That's
well,
good.
Yeah, no one can stand in for you. Even if someone stands on a box, there's no one with a head as big as yours, so you have to be there.
Thank you
very
much.
You're the only one. There's no stand-in for Chris Sims. Jay Glazer will be here in about 35 minutes.
Damn, I'm going to be mad I missed that.
He is a whirlwind. He is like the Tasmanian devil, so
whirlwind.
It would have been nice to have a buffer between me and him.
Oh, yeah, I know. He'll just go all over the place.
First time I ever met him,
right.
He came up to me and he took his thumb and he stuck it right and pressed.
I've seen him do
and
that.
And almost killed me.
Right.
And it hurt for like a week.
He loves all his UFC moves and everything. He wants to prove to you that, like, if it goes down, he's going to put you in some move you're not going to win.
Eli Manning is going to join me by Zoom in about 55 minutes. He originally canceled because he got... thought Sims was going to be
fired.
When he found out that Sims wasn't, he decided to do it.
Full transparency, I really think Eli Manning canceled because of me. I really do. I think he's still mad at me at that tweet I put out what I said on the show a few years ago.
About his brother.
I said it was just the worst pregame for a Super Bowl I'd ever seen, and then he tweeted out a picture of me and said, I forgot you ever played football. So he was legitimately mad about that.
You criticized Peyton in Super Bowl 50.
Just the pregame. And just
on the field.
Right.
Didn't look like he really had
I never got a message from Eli, though, when I've talked about how awesome his brother is and he's better than Brady in his prime and all those things. Never got like, oh, I remember Chris playing football. He was awesome then.
Did the conversation end with either of you saying, tell your dad I said hi?
No, it did not.
The Jim Harbaugh move. we'll have Justin Jefferson coming up in a little bit. Too. We talked to him about Jim Harbaugh almost becoming coach of the Vikings. But before that, it's time to get to something I have been procrastinating, regretting, lamenting.
Here we go.
Ever since
Rams.
It was locked in.
Here we go.
I don't know who I'm taking. Rams,
here
Bengals.
We go. You want me to go first?
Well, I know you're going first because you're taking the Rams.
I am. I'm going for the Rams. I am. I look at the Rams. I think there's two things that I just base level that I look at. I do think they're a more talented football team. I do. I think if we go through it. You know, there's a lot to like with the Bengals, but I think you go through more of the position units. You're going to pick the Rams units more times than the Bengals. I'm also going to give the edge in coaching to the Rams a little bit. Not that it's a huge advantage, but I think just between those two things, the fact that it's a little bit of an older team, a little bit more battle-tested, and really in some ways, again, the Bengals are magical, Mike, but you kind of know how I feel. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks I'm not sure they were the better team in the divisional round on the field. I'm not sure they were the better team on the field in the AFC round and AFC championship game. So I'm going with the Rams, and I'm going with the Rams like 38-21
type of
win.
Wow.
With the Rams to
Boom.
Win dominantly.
Bang.
Yes, I am.
Look, And I've said a few times this week that if the Rams are going to win, it's got to be step on their throat,
right.
Keep pressing, don't let them back into it.
Yeah.
Because if you let them hang around, they're eventually going to take it. They did it against the Titans. They did it against the Chiefs. And they almost let the Raiders do it to them.
No doubt. They let them hang around.
But all these games are close.
Yeah.
They're battle-tested.
Right.
Don't mess around with Joe Burrow. But they've got the pass rush. How many years have we seen the pass rush that is dominant overwhelm a quarterback? We saw it last year.
Right.
We saw it the year that the Broncos beat the Panthers, despite Peyton Manning no longer having much of anything as it relates to some of his higher-end abilities. A lot of quarterbacks could have won that game. I don't think a lot of quarterbacks could have gotten them to the game, but on that day, it was about Von Miller and the pass rush, and I think it's going to be about the pass rush. It's going to be about
right.
the defense. It's going to be about Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's going to have a big game. We said yesterday we both believe he'll be over the 60.5 receiving yards. I had 30-21 in my head.
30-21. And you're thinking
I had 30-21 Rams because the spread's down to 4 because so many people are betting on the Bengals. They're moving the number to entice people to bet on the Rams, but I think it's head versus heart. And a lot of people want to see the Bengals win. It's a great story. You get caught up in a great story. You get caught up in an underdog story. I remember 36 years ago, the 85 Bears.
Sure.
The Patriots making to the game.
Right.
I was caught. I'm in college. I'm thinking, hey, I want the Patriots to win this. It's a great story.
Right.
I want they splattered. And I feel like it's going to be splatter time. And one of the things we haven't talked about all week the advantage that the Rams have of not having to leave Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Of not having to get on a plane and go three time zones away. Of not having to adjust to that. Of being in their regular environment. I know they've had to practice at the Rose Bowl because of wins, but they're the home team, even though the Bengals are technically the home team. And I think there's a built-in advantage there as well. When, you know, it's not like you're going to get to sleep in your bed all week long. At some point, you go to the team hotel, but
yeah.
you're home. You're still in your natural environment,
right.
And there's a built-in advantage there that the Bengals are going to have to overcome. And Joe Burrow said, distractions already have taken root early in the week, and they have to get away from that, and they have to focus on team. For the Rams, it's never a distraction. They live here. They're here all the time. It's not an issue. It's not anything. It's almost like what you say about going to Miami. You know, you got all these Bengals players coming to L.A., and they may get caught up in the L.A.
80 degrees, yeah. Oh, let's go to this place. Let's get out here. Let's walk. Let's go to the beach. I hear you there. The Rams certainly aren't going to fall into that trap, you know. But, yeah, I think you make good points. I do. They're in their comfort level. Like, even today, I know the Rams, I think, were practicing at the Rose Bowl because their normal facility had, like, high winds, right, or something
right.
like that.
I said that. You know,
yeah, no, I did. But I didn't know if you said today. But to your point, like, yeah, they're still getting in the car going home.
Yeah.
They're not going to a hotel. They're in that process. There is that. But as you know, too, and we've talked to this a little bit, you could play the flip side of that as well. You are home. People are starting to come into town. And, hey, it's everywhere you go. Hey, Super Bowl. Yeah, Rams, Super Bowl. You're having to hear that a little bit. Where the Bengals, as we know, on the road sometimes, you get to the team hotel and all you do is, like, man, just focus on the game. But I still, I think, would give the Rams the advantage, to your point. I think that's right.
One of the things that we both agreed on,
yeah.
NFC Championship game, great players making great plays.
Yeah.
And the Rams have the great players. Will they make the great plays? Will Matthew Stafford cough one up, and will it make a difference? If
yeah.
it keeps it close, that's how the Bengals have a shot. I think the Bengals blowing out the Rams is the bottom
the
possibility.
The thing that doesn't happen, right.
If the Rams win, I expect it to be a big win because
right.
I think Sean McVay will have them ready to go. Who do you give the edge to in the boss versus former pupil with Zach Taylor? Zach Taylor knows the personnel to
yeah.
an extent. Obviously,
right.
different quarterback, different
right.
running back. But he knows the personnel. But McVay knows Zach Taylor.
Yeah, I give it to McVay. I do. I always kind of give it to the teacher more than the pupil, more times than not. And I think the other thing, too, you know, McVay, of course, has coached in a Super Bowl already. This is Zach Taylor's first time around doing that. There is something to that. I talked to Sean McVay last week, and you'll see it in the pregame show. He talks about some of those experiences from the first time around and how it's going to help him this time around. So I think I look at that, and I do look at, I guess I look at, again, I really like Zach Taylor and that offense and what him and Brian Callahan do on that side of the ball. But I guess I am more of a fan of what McVay has to offer that way, too. You know, the one thing McVay, I thought, was really cool he said to me, Mike, was that he's added a lot to his offense this year. Because once he got to know Matt Stafford, he was smarter than he even thought he was going to be. Like, just as far as X's and O's, knowing everything about plays. And he's like, Stafford could teach me, like a coach, certain plays that I didn't have a lot of experience with. And because of that, you know, McVay has said Stafford is added to the McVay offense. He's taken some of the Scott Linehan drop-back pass plays that Matthew Stafford has and some of the other good offensive coordinators he's been around, and they've infused that into their offense. And I think they're a little bit of a deadly combination. McVay made it sound like, man, their game planning, that Stafford certainly has a say in what he likes to do, and I give that a little bit of an edge in that group there because Burrow, of course, young too and still doesn't know a whole lot that way.
It's been a long time coming for Matthew Stafford,
yeah.
a long time coming for Aaron Donald, a long time coming for Odell Beckham Jr. There's just too much of that.
That's what I
there's too much
feel.
Of that. Guys coming together,
right.
coalescing and realizing this is our opportunity. We've been in the NFL for so long.
Right.
And now Donald was there 3 years ago, knows how hard it is to get back. Odell Beckham Jr.'s never been there. Stafford's never been there. I just feel like, and here's the other.
They want to win for the other one, too.
Hey,
it's not even for themselves. They're all like, I want to win for Aaron Donald. Or I want to win for OBJ.
Do you really want to have to show up for work every damn home game for the rest of your career with the Rams in the stadium where you lost a Super Bowl? I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, I hear
this
you.
This is only the second time
Bad
it's ever
taste.
Happened.
You're right.
You don't want that.
You're right.
That fear-based motivation
right.
of, we don't want to, look, this is our workplace. We can't
have
lose
our worst
the biggest professional game of our lives
yeah.
here and have to continue to show up here and play all the time. So I think that's part of it as well. We have to let you go. By the way, Bob Seger,
is still with us.
Yeah.
Bob Seger, 76 years old. He's still with us, and he may make a return at any point. Because I'm it was scary how loud it was just before we came on the air.
It was.
Bust your eardrums.
No doubt. What do you think? You think the Bengals have a good plan to slow down that pass rush of the Rams and all that?
They have a plan. They'll have a
just
plan.
Just when you do it.
Plan goes out the window when you get hit in the mouth. Who said that? Mike Tyson?
Yeah. Right. It's the one thing to watch out in the game, you know, the Sirs. We know. It's more than any other Super Bowl that I can remember. I mean, it's a team that got 50-plus sacks going against a team that got sacked 50-plus times. That's rare. It doesn't always happen. The team that got the 50-plus sacks, I believe this is the third time in the Super Bowl this has happened, they win every time. The defense wins. So I believe they're 3-0 in that stat department. I'm going to be interested, too, Mike, with this little angle. The Rams, we know the front four is great. They rush five too much. And if you rush five and you're worried about the pass rush, what do you think, as the other team's quarterback, he's going to be going, let me get the ball out quick. Let me get it out quick, right? To me, that'll play right in the hands of the Bengals. Now there's one less guy, maybe over the middle to throw a slant route or a shallow cross route for Jamar Chase. If the Rams rush four, I think they're going to give problems to the Bengals. If they get over-aggressive and try to just go over the kill shot, the jugular, then they're going to let the Bengals hang around and Joe Burrow's going to make some plays with Jamar Chase, and then that's when the game gets dicey.
I'm definitely not feeling great about my pick.
Yeah.
And I do kind of hope the Bengals win just because I think it'd be a better story.
Cool story. I hear you.
But it feels like the Rams players
are primed right now.
They deserve it. They've earned it,
yeah,
and they're doing it at home. And again, they don't want to keep coming back to the stadium for every Sunday, Monday, or Thursday the rest of their careers with the Rams, experiencing again, having flashbacks again to the day that they had a championship in their hands and they blew it. So I don't think they're going to blow it. I think they're going to win it. We're going to take a break. When we return, we have a combination. First, Mecole Hardman, then Justin Jefferson. Receiver day here from the Super Bowl.
Ballers.
On PFT Live. We'll be back with those guests right after this.
See ya.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
We continue the week here at the NFL Experience in Los Angeles, site of Super Bowl 56. Joining us now, Kansas City Chiefs receiver, Mecole Hardman. I love the chain.
Thank you.
I love the chain.
Watch this guy.
He'll try to take it.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to take this.
It is. Oh, you don't think I can do it? You don't think I can pull it off?
He's got the Aqib Tlaib arm strength where he can rip it right off you like Aqib used to do.
Well, it's a different kind of link, you know?
It is a different kind of link. My problem is if I did take it, I'm not going to be able to run away from him. Like, he's going to catch me, so that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not really, it's a no-win situation. But good to have you here, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, now you're an exciting player. We enjoy watching you, the Kansas City Chiefs, certainly. Go ahead, Mike. I didn't mean to jump in.
No, it's fine. We'll just have a conversation. That's how we do it. We talk about whatever we want to talk about. And look, you've been through this experience as a player.
Right.
You've been through this experience now as a guy who's making some money in media. Surely you prefer to be a player. What's your biggest Super Bowl memory?
I mean, that'd be the one we won against the 49ers.
What stands out?
I don't know, just the comeback in the game and just how we just finished the game off like we supposed to, you know what I mean? But it's just probably the ending feeling, the confetti on the field.
Yeah.
Family come on the field. It's just crazy experience.
What about, like, the panic that you might have had in your body at that time when you were down 20-10 and it was, like, 6 minutes left? Did you feel, like, a pit in your stomach? It doesn't seem like anyone says there was panic on the sideline that day.
It's never panic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, how we think is, like, we know we can score as an offense.
Right.
Like, we know we can score. We got to do it, you know what I'm saying? And we was down 20-10, it was just more so like, if they give us a chance, they're going to have problems.
But that's what drives us absolutely crazy about you guys. Like, just what you just said, like, first half last week, right?
Find the gas pedal,
we're
score
like,
28
oh, man.
Points.
And then in the second half, what the hell happened in the AFC Championship?
We didn't score.
I know.
Didn't score at all. I don't know.
It's just amazing how you guys can look like the best offense in football and then go through a period where you just go, what the hell happened all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. I think nothing wasn't clicking, you know what I'm saying? And, Just had to be a whole lot better in the second half. Like, I don't know. It was just, we didn't get past the 50 on.
Right. Never got in a rhythm.
Never got anything going down. Putting out defense in bad situations. And it's like, and we had a chance, you know, to win it, but we just never, you know, closed it out. But there's no excuse for it. Just got to be better in those situations.
McCall, there was talk that the Bengals dramatically changed their defensive approach in the second half. Did you sense anything like that during the game?
Not really. I feel like they had the same kind of game plan, but just tweak it a little bit of, like, you know, taking certain things away instead of, like, you know, letting us get those, you know, maybe those little quick routes or those easy routes that we was running earlier in the first half. So I kind of think they tweaked it a little bit, but the little tweak probably, that's what kind of, you know, probably did it for us. But I don't know. They didn't do nothing significant that really changed.
Yeah, it wasn't significant. Like, you saw the three-man rush in the first half once or twice, but then the second half it just seemed to be more of a thing that they kind of – but, you guys were prepared for that.
Right.
You knew that was a part of their defense.
Exactly.
I guess they just did a few more things within it than they usually do. That
right.
Fair to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just little things we haven't seen before that you had to, you know, pick up on, like, as the game went, or in the second half went, and but they did a good job, man. I ain't gonna lie, they did what they supposed to do, and they definitely closed that game up.
Yeah.
What was the impact of not getting any points at the end of the first half? Did that feel like a gut punch going into the locker room?
Yeah, it's kind of like a momentum switch too. You know, we had all the momentum, definitely driving the ball all the way down, and our decision not to kick the field goal, I don't know, but. I feel like if those 3 points definitely would, you know, make that game a lot easier.
Right.
You know, because that way you had to score twice instead
three
of,
touchdowns,
know,
right.
Instead of scoring and kicking the field goal maybe. Or
right.
Two-point conversion wouldn't even matter at that time. So a lot of things could have happened differently.
I know. People don't realize, though, the momentum aspect of that is real, right? I mean,
right.
Try to explain that to people. You go into half, like, you kick a field goal, hey, we're up by 14. You know, maybe still didn't even play our best, but we're up by 14. Instead, you went into by 11 going, wait, we kicked the crap out of them, and now they're only two scores down.
Yeah, two scores down, definitely. Really, a field goal, I mean, a two-point conversion, a scoring and field goal.
Yeah, and they did. And that's what they did.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
But that momentum switch, man, it's better going to the locker room, like, you know, bringing some points, knowing you're getting the ball back in the second half.
Right.
But not making a field goal or not even kicking a field goal, it's kind of like just, you know, slumps you down just a little bit instead of, you know, having you, you know, hyper ready to go back out. So that momentum switch is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
You had your most catches and most yards in your third NFL season, 59 catches, 693 yards. What's the next level up for McCole Hardman?
About time for the 1,000-yard season. You know, just personally speaking, 1,000-yard season definitely coming up. But just trying to get better every year. You know, improving on the catching, improving on my routes. I think I had the most first downs in my career as well with the catches. So it's like you just improve on the small things and everything else will come with it.
You, Tyreek Hill, you know, the speed you guys have, you're so dangerous. I mean, you know, with Mahomes at quarterback this year, we're so used to seeing you guys be a well-oiled machine. Like, what is the thought in the locker room when your offense was kind of sputtering early on in the year, halfway through the year, and people were on Mahomes maybe for the first time in his career? You know, what take us into your mindset through those situations.
I think when people understand, when we play defenses, we get a whole entirely different defense.
You get a different approach
than what another team will have.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you can play a team in week six, right, and watch 5 weeks of their film of their defense, and then when they come play us, it's nothing what they did in the 5 weeks. You know,
sure.
Similar things,
yeah.
But it's a whole different approach. So
right.
For us, we got to come in and, you know, prepare for something we might not seen before, and then pick up on it as the game goes. Like, okay, this is what they're doing. You know, they're doubling Tyreek. You know, oh no, well, they're doubling Kelce. So we got to do this. You know, Tyreek, they're letting you get this, so we got to run more of this.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So
right.
You know, it's definitely more of a challenge for us going into a game than, you know, a regular team, or I mean another team that's seeing their consistent defense they play week in, week out. You know,
yeah.
So we just had to, you know, just really
figure out how teams were playing you a little
lock
bit.
Lock in and just figure out what we can do, the basic things that help work to open up, you know, everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you keep your Super Bowl ring? You have it?
I don't have it.
Where do you keep it?
It's in my house.
Okay, where in your house?
Safe.
You're not home, so now's my chance. I've been saying for years I'm getting myself a Super Bowl ring one way or the other, so you better make sure it's in the safe.
And what's crazy, I wanted to bring it with me too, but I was like, you know what, man, this is the first Super Bowl, so, you know, that I got the ring. But it's definitely kept up safe for sure.
Is it weird to wear it? Do you put it on sometimes and just how does it? Because they're so big.
Gigantic.
Well, I only wore it once. for the when we got it, I wore that once. After that, that was it.
Locked up.
Yep.
All right. So wait, now, like, I know you pride yourself in your speed. Okay, it's got to be weird that it's maybe the first team you're ever on where you're not the fastest guy on the team. Maybe you think you are. If you want to, so go ahead right now. That guy keeps telling Usain Bolt he's going to beat him. Tell him you'll beat him.
Hey, man.
But that's got to be weird for you. I mean, the fact that, you know, I look at him and go, he's got three rockets up his butt. I usually classify you as 2.5 rockets up
okay.
your butt.
All right. Uh-huh.
So, but you're saying, I can tell by the look in your eye, you like your chances, is what I
love my chances. I love my chances, Ashley.
Okay. Come on, Tyreek.
I see 4.33. That's pretty damn fast.
That's
like false, though. You know, I'm really 4.2. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
4.2.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tyreek just, he's the type of guy, like, you know, you ever heard saying, like, he's fast but not quick?
Yeah.
But he's quick but not fast?
Right.
Well, Tyreek is both.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that kind of amplifies of how fast he get to certain links,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
But I don't know, man. It's tough to say I beat him.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I give him everything he wants.
Who else in football you think is in a race with you guys? Like, anybody else that just you think name-wise, that just jumps to your head? I know you know there's other fast guys out there, and we're putting you on the spot. But anybody in your class right now you think as far as that type of speed?
I don't know, man. I don't.
Like, Raheem Mostert might be up there with you, 49ers running back.
Yeah, he's
he
fast.
He can go, right?
He can go. He ran
Big
track.
Big 10 track guy, right?
Yeah.
He won the Big 10 60-meter.
But I think he's heavy right now.
He's heavy? He's so you're heavy. Right now, he's not in shape.
Yeah, like.
Mecole Hardman's sprinter shape
nah,
right
now.
Nah,
he's not. I think it's me and Tyreek at the top for sure.
Okay.
And then the other ones below us, I don't know. I mean, somebody could be faster than us. I don't know. But as far as we know, it's us two at the top.
All right, you're up there.
All right, before we get to the business of why you're here today, I got to ask you about the other business, because it's contract year. This is it.
Oh, yep.
Do you want to get a new contract with the Chiefs before the season, or do you want to go out and prove what you can do and then leave it to the Chiefs or someone else to reward you after the season?
I kind of want to prove myself, man. I really want to, like, prove that I can be, like,
the guy.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of just like, you know, well, here you go. And, you know, I really want to go out there and prove it to them and leave it up to them if they want to, you know, bring me back or, you know, if somebody else want to, you know, do what they have to do. So
it's the right attitude.
That's right. He said, so what he's saying is he ain't signing crap. He wants to go out there and ball.
Don't
and
bother.
He wants to be rich as hell. And then he wants his own butler to come and deliver his shoes and stuff.
And here he is.
Boom. Look at this guy, man. What can I get
you?
Yeah, man, you know,
so Kick tell
World. Don't show us your feet like Aaron Rodgers did, please.
Kicks World, you know, KYX.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't know how to spell that.
All right, KYX.
And it's kind of like a thing, like, basically, like, try before you buy type right. thing. You know what I'm saying? If I want to go get some kicks.
Oh, that, stay there. You got to take mine off.
Yeah. Hey, size 16, right?
You like that?
This is what my career has come to.
Yeah. I like it, though. All right.
Yeah, I love it, man.
So KYX.
KYX.world. Right.
Yep.
And basically just, you know, like I said, try before you buy. Basically like renting. You can rent it. So say if you know how you buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Say if you wear them like for a couple of days and you're like, I really don't like
You don't
it.
Feel them. They don't.
Well, with this you can.
Put them back out there.
You can send them back.
I need to introduce my son to this because he's about your age and everywhere I go in the house, there's shoes. Mm-hmm. And none of them are mine. They're his.
Oh,
so I'd rather he rent.
But he likes to use his money to buy his shoes.
Yeah, he likes to use my money to buy the shoes. And fortunately, they're the same size if I ever wanted to wear them. But
right.
I get in trouble if I do. So I like the rent
too,
over buy.
And you can keep them,
you can
too,
do either way. Okay. Right.
If you buy them or rent them and you like, I like these, and you just keep paying them off and, like, you know, it'd be yours, or you just buy them all right.
So you can go on a payment plan like that, too.
Yeah, I think you can do that, right?
Yeah. Right.
How do people find out about it? It's KYX. What's the website?
You got it? KYX.world.
All right.
Instead of .com.
Yeah.
KYX.world.
Yeah. The hell with the com. The whole world.
Yeah.
And does this guy come along with it? Is he going to, like, if I order some shoes, you'll just come to the house?
That's kind of like for me right there.
That's for you, special VIP personnel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, McCall, we appreciate some of your time. Good luck this season. I hope you have the kind of year you want to have and get the contract you want to have, whether
it's
the Chiefs or someone else.
Yeah,
the league. A lot of teams. You can
lots
be the fastest guy on the team
lots
again.
Of zeros behind those numbers.
There he is, McCall Hardman. Have a great day, pal. Good talking to you.
You're the man.
Thielen and Jefferson to the right. He's in a big blitz. He's hit. Loops it up to Jefferson. Caught.
Time to blow that horn again, Chris Sims. We got a Viking on the set. Here we go. Justin Jefferson, not just any Viking. One of the best players on the team, one of the best players in the league, and one of the nicest guys we've met this week. And we're not just saying, we don't just say that with everybody. Trust me, just don't listen to any of the interviews and you can confirm.
It was one of our favorites.
One of our favorites. Here he is,
too.
Justin Jefferson. Welcome back. Great to talk to you, pal.
You know he's a Vikings fan.
I know.
Like diehard.
No.
Like, no, like diehard. He tries to act like
blown
he's
blown up
not.
My spot.
Yeah, it's too late. Blown it up. He's already blown it up. He loves you all the time. You're the man.
I love
now,
it.
Kirk Cousins, on the other hand,
different
it's like,
story.
It's like, I love him not. I love him. He's all over the place.
Depends on the game. Depends on the play. Depends on whether he throws a touchdown pass or gets sacked. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going good, man. It's been a long 2 weeks, a week and a half, but, you know, hanging in there.
Long season, too, 17 games.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no 18th game. I know you got that competitive fire. You got that drive. You want to be playing in the postseason. I mean, I can feel it when you talk about it. You want more. You want more. And that needs to infect the rest of the organization.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it hurts not being in the playoffs. I mean, my whole life I've been in the playoffs and competing for a championship or, I mean, just being in the playoffs. So it definitely hurts, you know, not given that chance, not given that opportunity to, you know, keep fighting for another extra game. But, you know, it is what it is. The season just, you know, didn't come in our favor. But at the end of the day, I can only do what I can do, you know, just keep performing at my best ability.
Speaking about what you can do, like, I know you have great self-confidence, but did you think you were just going to come into the league and just take over? And just, I mean, you've made it look easy.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. I know it's not.
I mean, I don't think anybody would just expect to have a season like I had.
Right. You're the second best receiver on your college team, too. I mean, I feel like nobody saw this coming.
I don't think anybody did.
Right.
I mean, to come out and have a record-setting season and two back-to-back, you know, years like
right.
that. So, I mean, grace of God, really.
Odell, Randy Moss. I mean, you're being held up there with some
right,
names that
man.
Are legends.
And outperforming them early in their career, too, setting a standard
crazy.
That they weren't able to set.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But we got to keep going. This is only my year two, so there's a lot more things that I need to learn, need to figure out in the league. So we just getting started. Don't worry.
And next year, assuming that Kevin O'Connell becomes the head coach of the Vikings, officially,
yeah.
head coach of the Vikings. You're going to be drawing up plays. You're going to be Cooper Kupp in the new offense, right? World's going to change for Justin Jefferson. What was great is going to get even greater with this new coach.
I'm excited, honestly. I'm excited for him. I've been hearing nothing but good things about him. Just like you said, I've been watching Cooper Kupp this whole season.
Yeah,
he's been killing it. He's been wide open. Pretty much every single play. So, I mean, I'm excited for it, and this will be my first coach on the offensive side, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I bet you are. You see the Rams. They know how to get the ball to everybody.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, you got a dilemma. You have a dilemma this week.
I do.
I mean, OBJ, who was paying you hundreds after the championship game.
That was fake money. It wasn't real money. It was Monopoly money. Not real money.
So he's bought a way into your heart there. Then you got Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I mean, how do you even, like, go? And, you know, everybody's LSU. Just how do you go about this in your own mind?
Man, it's tough. It's definitely tough. You know, how much love that I have for O, you know.
Yeah.
I've been watching O for so long.
That's your guy.
Since he's been in college.
Right.
So we've been brothers ever since.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, being with Joe and Ja'Marr and playing with them and getting a national championship with them,
right?
It's a different type of love with them. You know?
Yeah.
That's
personal love.
Yeah, right. We here. So.
We're smoking stogies after the game.
Playing BP, you know. But, I mean, I have a different type of love for them. So,
you
know, I gotta show my love.
You're leaning there. You're leaning
there. I got to lean up. But, hey, if it's anybody else against O, I'm with O.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha. That's well said, though. He won't be mad at you for that.
I got a national championship with those guys, so he can't be mad.
No, he can't.
What was going on the phones among you and Kirk and Dalvin Cook and other guys on the team when Jim Harbaugh was in town last week to interview for the head coaching job? What was the buzz among the players?
I mean, we heard about it, and I mean, I knew about him. You know, I seen him coach, of course. Everybody pretty much knows about him. I was excited for it, you know, just hearing about all the talk and knowing what type of coach he is, knowing what type of person he is. I was happy for it, but you know, if he wants to stay in Michigan, and you know, that's on him. That's his decision.
I'm so glad he didn't go to your team.
He doesn't like Jim Harbaugh.
Why you don't like him?
He's a jerk. He's an absolute.
He was mean to him.
He
once.
Was mean. He was hilarious.
He's mean to a lot of people. Go Ohio State.
I've been impressed with you since we talked a few times in the pre-draft process. I could tell you have a plan. You love the sport. You understand the history. There's things that I know that you, even though you're kicking butt, you go, I want to get better. Yes. Like going to year three. Like, give me one or two things in your game where you just go, I'm getting better this year in that area.
I feel like I want to get better at every category. Yeah. Just getting my hands better, route running, getting more explosive, getting faster. There's so many more things that I feel like I'm a little bit weaker in my game. So
right.
I feel like once I touch those things up, I'll be on a whole different level. So there's people that I'm still wanting to work with, you know, meeting up with Randy Moss later in the offseason.
Yeah, down in Florida.
Working out with, you know, Juice at the House of Athletes. So working out with different people.
Juice?
Yeah.
Who's Juice?
Jarvis Landry.
Oh, that's Juice. Yeah. Okay, right.
So working out with different people all around the league, you know, just getting some new little moves, you know, just, you know.
You'll do sprint work and stuff like that, too? You're going to do it all.
I'm
you get on
the whole
track
nine.
And you do it all like that.
Whole nine.
Yeah.
Whole nine. Gotcha. We got to get better, man. I had a 1,600-yard season, so I got to get better than that. I got to find a way.
All right. Yeah.
Now that you got two seasons under your belt, though, and I know you're very driven, you're very motivated to make yourself as good as you can be, when do you transition into that role where you start saying to the guys around you, I want more from you, too. I'm going to become a leader on this team. Are you going to evolve into that, or are you taking your time?
I think that now it's becoming year three, and, you know, I done did the things that I had did in my first two seasons. I feel like this is the year that I become more of a leader, you know, more captain of the team. You know, just being more vocal. You know, the first two seasons, you know, you're new to the building.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You're the rookie. You're the new guy.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people don't really, you know, I guess not technically listen to you, but, you know, it's a different.
You got to earn it.
Yeah.
You got to earn it. And you've earned it.
Right.
He's definitely earned it.
Right.
I mean, when you speak, they're going to listen.
Yeah.
They're going to listen.
Right.
Yeah. So you had some things to say late into the season, and people listened.
Yeah.
And hopefully people got the message.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like I got to take on that new role now.
Yeah, you're worthy of it. All right, so like, give us some stuff just a little bit. You played the Bengals, you played the Rams, and I know the Bengals was the first game of the year, but give us a little like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase talk. What makes them so great? Are you surprised by this connection they've had? And just go ahead, just let us have it.
I mean, their connection is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be able to hot route or, you know, change the play at any time. I mean, every one-on-one Ja'Marr has. I mean,
they go there. They don't
there.
Even. They
I
go.
Mean,
the
I know. I know Joe's gonna go there before the play even starts.
As soon
know?
As you see bump, you go.
As
he's
soon,
gonna throw
as
to Ja'Marr.
Soon as I see it, as soon as I see it, I just know how they work.
Right.
Just because I was in the same offense with them.
You were like, wait, I had bump too. You were going to me.
Right. Right. But I mean, they're crazy talented.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited to see what they have done this whole year. Nobody expected them to go this far, so I'm definitely excited and happy that they got into the Super Bowl for Ja'Marr's first and Joe's second. So it's unbelievable.
Isn't it crazy to think your team in there at LSU? I mean, you literally might have the one and two best receivers in football, a top five quarterback now, and you guys were kicking butt in college football.
It's crazy to see the amount of talent we really had on that team. It's unbelievable.
One of the most talented ever.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, nobody can say that we're not classified as one of the best offenses.
Yeah, no, you're up there with the Miami back in the day, the Florida Gators, the Percy Harvard, and that company.
You definitely have to.
It's awesome to have you here in person, and you're here in person thanks to the folks at Sleep Number. So here's where we shut up and let you make the Sleep Number pitch.
Yeah, gladly partnered up with Sleep Number. Sleep Number is a partner with the NFL too, so they've been blessing us in the whole year with, you know, just free beds and everything. But they they blessed me and donated $5,000 to the Northside Achievement Zone in Minneapolis, a zone that I've been, you know, working with this whole season, just giving back to them, you know, doing turkey drives, doing toy giveaways. So Sleep Number has been doing some great things with me.
Tell us more about this group you're involved in. How did you get involved in it? Since it's Minneapolis, you've only been there 2 years. What drew you to them?
Well, it's really the north area of Minnesota, Minneapolis, and you know they don't have much. They're a low zone, low area.
Right.
Yep. So just wanted to, you know, share a little bit of light on them, get some happy faces, smiling faces, you know, kids all around that love, you know, just seeing me, being around me. So definitely wanted to, you know, just give them, you know, a little extra.
I've always kind of wanted to get the Sleep Number bed. I'm not even going to lie.
It's phenomenal, man. You never had one?
No, I've never had one.
I mean, the different features
it's a different
on
experience.
It.
I know. And I got a wife that snores. So I would like
I'd like to prop
her up and get her in position so I can keep sleeping.
You definitely need it. You definitely need it.
Your wife has a husband who farts.
Well, no, I'm not that bad. For men go, I'm not that sticky of a man. All right?
They'll have your feet warm at night and everything.
Yeah, all right, good. My wife's out here, so she won't be watching the show, so I could say stuff like that.
Hey, but it really is great to see you. You're an awesome player. You're with a great team.
Thank you.
Great facility. Great stadium, yep. Great fans.
Okay, team.
Quarterback, not so much.
You're such a jerk.
Depends on the day.
You're such a jerk.
You did say some stuff, though, recently I saw about, you know, with Kirk. And, I mean, you're just kind of taking it as it goes. It's up to the team who the quarterback is. You're there to run the routes and catch passes wherever the quarterback is.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I didn't throw balls to myself. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say things like about Kirk, and you know,
he gets criticized harshly.
I'm
just having fun. I think he gets it done. He gets it done. There's just sometimes that he doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to be honest, a lot of people, all people really care about is wins.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if you don't get any wins, then you know, people going to be a little harsh on you. Right. So, if we start winning, you know, get some dubs, get in the playoffs, get high in the playoffs, maybe reach to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure people ain't going to be on them then.
I look forward to the year that we can't talk to you in person this week.
Oh, my God. That'll be a great year.
You will. I will be driving you crazy.
That year, if you guys get the Vikings, him, he'll be uncontrollable.
All right. Well, hey, great seeing you. Good luck. Don't be available to us next year. Be getting ready for the game next year.
For sure. I'm right with you on that one.
All right.
You're the man.
Here we are at the NFL Experience. It's starting to fill up here on a Thursday afternoon. Just a few days until Super Bowl 56. We've been here all week. I've gotten rid of Chris Sims. Thank God I've had enough of him. Here's another guy that I have. And you know what, Jay Glazer? By the way, Jay Glazer's book, Unbreakable, Lessons for Living from a Mental Health Warrior. I get it right here. I got a copy at home. My son insisted on ordering it. I said, I think he'll hook us up with a free one. I still want to order it. I like him. I don't like you. I like him. I was trying to think of how long we've known each other, and I think the evidence that you've known someone a long time comes from the fact that you cannot remember how long you've known them.
Well, when did you start?
20 years ago.
20?
Yeah.
Okay, so I started shot interning at WFAN in 89, but I started covering the NFL in 93, so you're the guy with the law degree. What does that
mean? Well, you were doing it for a while. You've been around it for 30 years. I got involved in 2001. And at some point between 2004 and 2007, we connected.
Right.
Because I probably said something about you that you didn't like.
Sure.
That's probably how it started.
But also, you did it differently than I did differently. You know, when I started covering the NFL in 93, I walked into that giant locker room and I said, man, how could I be different? And, you know, I looked at it and said, hey, I'll be the last dude standing in here. So if everybody else works 9 to 5, I'm going to outwork them. Not by a little, by a lot. I'll come in at 7 a.m. and I'll go home. Actually, I didn't have enough money. I was making $9,700 a year for those first 10 years of my career. And I have enough money to drive myself back into New York City every day and take a bus to the subway. So Strahan drove me back in every single day till I finally got a full-time job in 99. So I owe him like 28 grand in Lincoln Tunnel fare. But I was like, I'm going to outwork everybody in here by, again, 7 a.m. till whenever Michael will drive me back, which is usually 7, 8 p.m., something along those lines. And I was like, man, I'm going to build relationships. I'm not going to use my pen as a weapon. I'm going to build relationships, and with relationships, these scoops will come. But it's also like for me, man, it became a community. This book I have, you know, how I turn my depression, anxiety into motivation, and you can too. There's a lot of lessons in there. One of them is to find your teams. The NFL for me has been a team. You know, the mixed martial arts world has been a team. The veteran community now for me is a team. I need these teams to get the roommates in my head to talk nicely to each other. So I did it differently. You did it differently. And we took a lot of crap from some of the old school guys, if you will.
That's why we've always gotten along, though. We've always gotten along because we did differently, and the people who...
And I've threatened you a lot.
That's true.
Yes.
The people who did it the traditional way... And look, I understand that...
I wish I could do it the traditional way. I wasn't smart enough.
I didn't do it the traditional way because I was doing something else. Right. I was practicing law, and the internet was the great equalizer where you could be anywhere in the world and you could express yourself, and it just kind of happened. I didn't intend for anything to happen. I just was trying to have fun.
I love football,
and I was trying to have some fun.
I had work ethic, and I had also the desire... Not desire, but I have this thing, and it's crazy because, again, I have... really bad depression, anxiety, where it's clinical for me. Yet I was willing to be rejected over and over and over and over and over more than any human being I've ever met until my dreams came true. You know, so that was that, you know, again, we just did it differently. Do I wish I was smart enough to go to West Virginia or any a real school? I went to Pace. Sorry, Pace College. And do it the way that the Schefters have done it and Moritz and people like that. I wish I could have. I was a remedial English kid.
You still did it.
I did it because I was willing to be knocked down more than everybody else. And I'd say, you know, it's funny because I always talk to God. I'm a big God guy. I said, God, I don't want you to get me this job. Just pick me up, brush me off, and let's keep walking this walk together. So I never felt alone. And that way I was willing to be rejected as many times as it took until I got, you know, where I needed to get to. That overnight success lasted 11 years of being broker than broke, $9,700 a year.
And that's the key. And look, I don't want to sound like the old man who's lecturing the kids out there who all want to have greatness, but you don't just show up at the top of the mountain. You don't get airlifted and dropped at the top of the mountain. You got to climb it. And the climb, frankly, is the most rewarding part.
That's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
Right. I never knew I'd be on a show with Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and Kurt Menefee and Jimmy Johnson and Michael Strahan and Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. Like, you kidding me? I never knew that would happen. So at one point I had to look at it and go, okay, that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the journey itself. Because here's the funny thing. With my level of depression, anxiety, I don't know how to love myself from the inside out. I wake up every day in what I call the gray. Like, the sky is falling and the universe hates me. And I know that's not true logically. And my life is great. But between my ears sucks. And because I couldn't find this love, A, it led me into a cage, right? That's why I felt like I belonged, to go get my head beat in by Chuck Liddell's walking around here somewhere and the Randy Couture's and Enzo Gracie's and people like that. But it also led me to go do such great things on the outside so I could learn how to get some love from the outside in. And hopefully one day maybe I can meet in the middle. Like, I'm a work in progress. I'm still trying to learn those skills of self-worth. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. But writing a book like this where I could be a voice for mental health, that definitely calms the roommates in my head and gets them to talk a lot nicer to each other.
And this is something you have been dealing with for years. I first found out about it. You told me about it maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't know anything about it. And what was the moment that caused you to decide to throw the doors open and write this book and be as open about it and talk about it and not feel like anyone's going to judge you or look at you differently or, you know, the stigma that's been part of mental health for so many years? What caused you to say, screw it, I'm throwing it open and I'm going to let everyone know because maybe somebody out there will hear this and it'll help them?
Well, I was very open. We have our MVP sessions where we take our former combat vets and our former pro athletes. We put us together, we train together, and we just talk afterwards. We talk about everything. And I talked about, like, me training. After me and Randy Couture are done beating the crap out of each other, that's when we open up and we cry and we talk about everything. So I saw how much I was able to help with our vets and our players. And I was like, man, if I could take some of this and spread it out to the rest of the world, man, that's my mission. That's what God put me here to do. And it was 2 years ago. I wrote something like in the Athletic about And it was just like a little throwaway thing. And then all of a sudden people went, oh, my God, you too? You have it? And I'm like, yeah, like, who doesn't? And, like, I always, you know, I brag all the time about my physical scars from fighting. I'm proud of them all. But I want us all to start bragging about our mental scars also. It's something that we overcame. We came through the other side of that tunnel. Something that could have broken us but did not, hence the name Unbreakable. And I just saw the reaction, and I saw the need, because no one's given this thing words. And whether it's my level of depression, anxiety, or we just went through a pandemic, we were forced to socially isolate, right? Or you think your life sucks because you're comparing yourself to everybody else's filtered fraction of a second on social media. It's not real, but it's a harder role to live in these days and navigate. So we talk about mental health, but who describes it? I want to be that voice to give us a voice through the gray. Find some color in the gray. And, man, the more I've opened up to my friends, the most macho dudes in the world, the closer it's gotten us together. So I'm telling everybody else out there, open up to your people. There is no shame. Nobody will shame you for it. I can promise you that.
Well, and that's the key, too, because everybody deals with something at some point, whether it's clinical, whether it's situational, whether it's just a bad weekend. We all go through crap. And I think one of the things to remember is whatever it is temporary. Whatever it is, you can find a way through it. And if you have resources, you have friends, you have people you can talk to, that's what's going to help you get through it. Yep. And it's easy to say it. It's hard to do it when you're in the middle of it. And it sounds like it's something that you literally have to battle every day.
Every morning.
Every morning.
Every morning I wake up. It's, man, like, yeah, like, I don't know which version of me is gonna I'm going to wake up with. And if it's the version that the sky is falling, or the version that the universe, everybody hates me. And
so what do you do when you wake up and you're in the gray? So what do you do to help yourself out of it?
I start meditating in the morning, and I start meditating and I kind of put three songs on. And one is I try and do things I'm grateful for, right? And it's hard to, when you're having a pity party for yourself, it's hard to do that. And then I do things that I'm proud of. It's hard also for somebody like me. And the third thing is positive affirmations of things that I want to do, like this book. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to help this number of people. So things like that. So I do that, right? But also, like, when I'm struggling now, I call my boys. Like, a couple weeks ago, I was in one. It's not often where it renders me where I just can't get out of bed or off the couch, but this day it did. And I called a guy named Mark Kerr, who's the first ever UFC heavyweight champ of the world, smashing machine. HBO did a documentary on him, and I called him. I said, bro, I am struggling. I need you to come over. He's like, what do you want to do? I said, I need to spar. I'm like, I want you to punch me in the face. I need more CTE to get me out of this. So he did. He came over, and I called my team. I called my teammates, and that's the biggest thing. Don't isolate. Call your teammates. And, you know, this book is a prescriptive thing of what you could do. I try and laugh a lot. You guys see me on TV all the time laughing and joking. A lot of it is to entertain you at home, but a lot of it is also for me to slice through the gray, because the gray hates laughter. And then the third thing is I make sure I'm of service to people. So I'm always doing charitable works, or even just calling somebody and saying, man, how you doing?
That's one thing I've learned from you not that long ago, that if you know somebody that periodically has these issues, there's huge value not in waiting for them to reach out to you if they're having a bad day, but just drop them a text, give them a call. Just, I'm thinking about you, how are you doing today? You never know when that lightning bolt is going to come and help them when they otherwise maybe not in the mindset where they want to text or they want to talk. And just keeping in touch with people all the time.
As we're here talking, one of my friends is missing, and we're out there searching for him. And again, it's not... Suicide is such a bad epidemic these days. I mean, Miss USA just committed suicide. That's the most beautiful woman in the world, and she felt lonely, right? So, man, you've got to call your team. We've got to reach out to each other. You can't, you know, and in the book, I do a lot of our lessons of MVP, why we've been so successful in preventing a lot of suicides. I always tell them, like, man, when someone, you know, again, there are 22 vets a day that kill themselves. That is not okay. Like, man, I'm doing whatever I can to change that number, bring that number down. And whenever somebody in the crew has somebody that does, and the whole group's crying, I'm like, hey, how many in this group, you know, tried attempting themselves? And a bunch of hands go up. I'm like, well, this is what you would have left behind. Right? So this is your chance to have a do-over. I can guarantee you that your friend or whoever wasn't, whatever afterlife you believe in, is up in that afterlife looking down right now. They're not looking going, yes, celebrating that we're all crying. Guarantee you that they're up there going, oh, my God, what did I do? No, I wish I could take it back. Well, this is your chance. And what you can learn here and what I'm trying to preach to is it's your chance to do it, to have a do-over. And don't leave us with that grief, man. We got to be there for each other, man, in the darkest of times.
How much has this helped you personally, telling your story in this yeah. book, talking to people about the book? How much has it helped you?
I had an 80-year-old grandmother recently reach out and say, thank you for giving me the words for the first time in my life. You see me get, you know, a little choked up saying this, but like, man, that's someone's grandma who I was able to give these words to that said I can finally talk to my husband and my kids and my grandkids. It's pretty damn special. And I've had a lot of parents reach out saying, I don't get it, but my kid's going through, and now you've given me a way to connect with my kid. That's pretty damn special. Thank God for this platform, that Fox and the NFL, that I could have this platform where I could do things like this.
Well, and just think about all the years, all the decades where we were wired as a people to keep our mouths shut, keep our heads low. You don't talk about it. It's embarrassing. You're going to embarrass the family. You're going to embarrass yourself, especially men. But everybody. There's been a stigma yep. attached to it for so long, and you've been doing such great work in tearing down yeah. that wall and eliminating it. And I know that people are still reluctant, but I think we're at a time now, and you've been at the forefront of this, getting people to realize it's nothing to be ashamed
okay.
of.
Yeah, be proud
it's
of
okay.
our scars. It's something we're all going through. Life isn't perfect. We got to go through it, and it's got to motivate us to come through that. Whatever has almost broken you but didn't, you came through the other side of that tunnel. Be proud of that. Be proud of your scars. Be proud of your wars.
I had no idea Terry Bradshaw had struggled with depression for so many years. I had no idea.
Oh, he was the first one. He came out. He's what opened the door for people like me to talk about it. And when I first joined Fox, I started talking to Terry about it way back then. And I was in 2004 saying, man, I go through the same things. And he and I were just talking about it inside. And that's the first time I had somebody like that I could talk to. Terry was a pioneer. He was brave as could be because he was talking about it before we talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, I had my first anxiety panic attack in 2005, and I've had them every single time I've done a show ever since. But back then, we didn't talk about it, so I thought I was having a heart attack. And I now know it's not dangerous. Like, but man, my hands will shake, my heart will go like this, my eyes will go back and forth, I'll start sweating, and a lot of times I'm like, call it wrestling with my abuser. While I'm on the air talking to people, I'm talking to this voice like, dude, just let me be, and trying to calm myself down and talking to America at the same time. It's a little, it's chaotic, but I want people out there to know like that, yeah, it happens to me, it happens to you, it's okay, right? I'm messed up, but I'm good with my messed upness.
Well, and that's the key. That's one way to get out of it. Embrace it, own it, and yep. work at it every single day. Unbreakable, how I turned my depression and anxiety into motivation, and you can too. That's the key, and
that's
you
it.
Can too. It's great seeing you.
You too, man.
And I have my copy at home. Well, I'm going to have to get my own copy because my son will claim the one that showed up at our house. But
I like it.
Awesome stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother.
And appreciate so much what you're doing. We're going to take a break when we return. Eli Manning joins the program. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.